Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Five one double 51 is our text number. Bernie Kelly. Bernie, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. I'm looking at photographs of Patsy, your brother. He looks like a very happy, jolly, and his arms are out in an embrace.
Outstretched.
And he looks like he's somebody you'd have a good chat with and a good laugh with. What happened, Patsy?
Patsy went to a house in Naas in 2015.
Okay.
22nd of August 2015. And he was assaulted by a neighbour next door, and he was only making his way in. Mm-hmm. This guy hopped the fence and attacked him. Literally dragged him by the legs and kicked him to death. That's how we look at it.
He punched him, dragged him and kicked him, and Patsy died.
Correct. Patsy had an underlying illness, and they basically say the trauma brought on by that killed him.
Mm. And what part of the body did he kick Patsy?
The head.
While he was on the ground?
Correct.
And do we know how many times he kicked Patsy in the head?
I have no idea, to be honest with you. When the case was on, I actually left during the medical readout.
But were you, prior to the funeral, made aware of the injuries to your brother? To his head, especially?
We were prepared to listen to awful things, but mentally I wasn't able to deal with standing in and listening to and having to look at the person in the eye who had done this. Do you know what I was looking at, Joe? I was actually looking at his feet of this person, you know, what they used to kick him with. You know, you can't put it into words how you feel, you know, how this person has affected your life. You know, as I said, it's like throwing a rock in the river. There's this ripple effect. It just doesn't affect one person. It affects hundreds of people.
But were you not told at one stage that his head injuries were so severe that that the family should be...
No.
Okay.
We weren't told. We were just told about the kicking.
Okay.
But we weren't... When we actually arrived into the medical, when the doctor read out, Professor, I can't think of her name, but she read out the... And I just got up and left, and I just...
Okay.
You know, you just... You can only put yourself through so much.
But the judge did say that your brother was incapable of defending himself. He had been kicked in the head while he was on the ground.
Yeah.
Incapable of defending himself.
He didn't defend himself, Joe. He just took the kicking and the beating. His last words to that man was, "You wouldn't hit an old man, would you?" There were his last words on this earth.
And what age was your Patsy?
Patsy was nearly 60.
Okay. Well, he's still young.
Very young. Late
50s. And looking at a photograph, he was young at heart anyway.
Very young at heart. As I said, he was a fun man and
The man who carried out this attack was 21 years younger than your Patsy. I know you don't want to say his name, but I have to for clarity. I don't want anyone else getting involved. His name was Paul Gill of Naas in County Clare. Now, what sentence did he get for the attack?
He was sentenced to 2.5 years. Now, with that, they automatically get 25% off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Coupled with the fact that they don't tell you this in court. By the way, he's going to be getting temporary release, known as TR.
Yeah.
And the fact that today he has gotten off an extra 2 weeks early because he has secured employment in Wicklow, which means he's not allowed back into County Kildare.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no guarantee from anybody in this country, from the Department of Justice to the Prison Service, to tell me any different that what's to stop him from entering Kildare. There's no supervision of these people whatsoever. Now, Joe, it's not just me who's affected by this. There's thousands of families going through this where they are not, you know, these people are given their TR, their temporary release, they're giving, you know, just time off here and there, but there's no supervision of them. There's no tagging. They're given mobile phones, you know. Who's to say they leave the mobile phone at home? You know, things like that. It's a very... corrupt system, I think.
And well, that is the system. But and I know you're upset about it, Bernie. But
absolutely.
But he got 2.5 years for that. Mm. Obviously, this whole issue, one of your brother having taken a few drinks, being incapable of defending himself, which I thought would actually
totally unprovoked, I might add.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought would go against.
It was a ludicrous
against
sentence,
the accused.
To be honest with
well,
you.
Okay. Well, the judge made it, and the judge
she made her decision.
She said I could have given him 5 years because it was reduced from more serious offence because of this underlying heart complaint.
Correct.
Now,
correct. Patsy didn't know he had.
Yeah, and who's to know that when you kick someone in the head, that you're going to get a reduced sentence because the person you kicked in the head, unbeknownst to you and unbeknownst to him and his family, had subsequently discovered, and the only way you probably would discover is in an autopsy, that he had an underlying heart defect.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. You know, he could have lived another 20 years if he hadn't had, if that trauma hadn't been inflicted upon him. He could have lived another 20 years.
So
we'll
Paul,
never
so
know.
Paul Gill got, he could have got a maximum of 5. He got 2.5.
Correct. How soon? 2.5.
How soon after he entered prison? Well, like what prison was he sent to initially for such a series of
offences? I think he was sent to the Joy, and then, sorry, he was in the Midlands, then moved to the Joy, and then after 6 months of really good behaviour, he's now sent then to Shelton Abbey for being a good boy.
The open prison.
Yeah, the open prison. Yeah. Exactly.
So he was sent there after 6 months?
Correct, after 6 months.
And how long of a sentence did he serve for the killing of your brother before he was allowed temporary release? Do you know, insofar as you know?
That's a good question, to be honest with you. I'd say, now in fairness to the prison service, they do ring me and they either ring me or email me to let me know when he's out and about.
Okay.
Now, this doesn't include Joe while they're in Shelton Abbey. They also attend outside activities, which I never find out about till the end. But I will say, you know, I just think it's totally unfair if you're handed a sentence, serve the bloody sentence, for God's sake.
So how long,
you know what I mean?
How long of the 2.5 years for killing your brother did he serve?
If you take off 25%, you're down to 19 months.
Yeah.
If you take off the TR and the extra 2 weeks, you're probably talking the guts of 17 months.
And when you say you discovered he was released today, is he fully fully released from prison?
He has been sent to Wicklow to work for 2 weeks unsupervised because he has secured employment. This is the line I was told.
Okay,
employment. He has a job in Wicklow somewhere.
That will bring us to 1st of November. Is he then a free man?
He's then a free man to come and go as he pleases in County Kildare or the rest of the world.
To come and go anywhere. So we'd be back in Kildare because he has a family.
He was back in Kildare. We could meet him in the street, basically.
Now, this man, apparently, I wasn't there, but apparently he did show remorse.
He didn't show it to us. He might have shown it to the guards. But, I mean, if you're caught red-handed kicking somebody in the head, I'm sure you're going to say I'm sorry as well to make it look good for you in sentencing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because he never showed once to us. He kept his head down the whole time in the case.
It
was as if he was zoned out.
Did he ever apologise to the family?
No, never, never.
Would that make a difference, Bernie?
It would have made a hell of a difference.
Wow.
A hell of a difference. We're a very forgiving family.
Okay.
You know, we would have accepted his apology. And if Patsy was alive today, he would have forgiven that person, that criminal. He would have forgiven him.
And
Patsy was a very loving, giving person, and he would have shook that man's hand and he would have moved on from it.
He would have said, what?
He would have said, that's okay, bud. That's what he would have said. That's fine, bud. He would have just said that.
Yeah.
But I find this whole system where the victims, we're left to carry. The door is closed on us, and I had written to Charlie Flanagan, and his private secretary wrote to me, and 60% of the letter was basically saying, you know, sympathies. 20% is about the prisoner and the rest is go off and get some counselling. You know what I mean? So, like, as I said, a piece of paper. This is all how we feel. We feel like we're a piece of paper, that we're not counted as victims. ADVIC, I'm telling you, they're a fantastic organisation. If it wasn't for ADVIC, I don't think I'd be here today because they listen and they listen and they listen and they're so good. You know what I mean? People like those, they should be more, you know, financially support it.
But if Paul Gill, or indeed he has a family, hasn't he? That was mentioned in court as well.
Correct.
If Paul Gill, or have you seen any of his family around and about? I know they've
from
nothing.
Time to
they've
time,
nothing
from
to
time
do.
To time,
yeah.
And to be honest with you, you just hold your head up. You know what I mean? I just bless myself, and I don't get involved. It's not their fault. I blame him 110%.
And what do you mean you bless yourself?
I just kind of say, you know, I mean, they, during the court, there would have been times they would have been giving us dirty looks or things like that. It would have been, we would have been trying to be made feel that we're in the wrong. How dare we bring this to court? You know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, my mother, God rest her, would have just, right your head, rise above it.
Okay.
If my mother and father were alive today, I'm telling you, my mother would have just crawled into that coffin after him. That was her life.
But
he was her life.
But in fairness, Bernie, you're saying your family, well, no, you say what you want to say, but am I correct in saying that your family, and you're doing it in the spirit of Patsy, your family, if they received some communication from Paul Gill or behalf of Paul Gill or through Paul Gill or whatever to say, I am truly sorry, I want to move on, I've done time in prison,
it would go some way towards it. You know what I mean? But as I said, we are victims. We haven't been recognised in any shape or form.
Mm.
You know, as I said, it's not just me. There must be thousands of people out there who are feeling like this. We're the forgotten ones. We're the ones. Patsy's the one that's been vilified in court. And he's made out to be, you know, some kind of saint. And we're the ones that seem to be. We're sitting biting our tongues.
Yeah, because the point was made about your Patsy that he was vulnerable and intoxicated.
Of course he was vulnerable.
Well,
he had a broken foot. He was walking on the ball of his foot. As I said, he put up absolutely no resistance to this healthy, strong, 30-something-year-old criminal.
And then issues were raised in court about, excuse me, Paul Gill's upbringing. He had a difficult childhood, which nobody should have to endure, but apparently he did. Bernie, did you make a victim impact statement?
I did, I made one. But Joe, just get back to your point there about everybody can have a rough upbringing, but we don't go out and kill somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We don't go down the road and just because somebody has had a rough upbringing, there's people have risen above their rough upbringing. You know what I mean? You don't use that as an excuse to get from A to B to get off something.
Yeah. And is there, I'm just trying to think, is there any,
I'm just very angry that all the emails I sent the Department of Justice were totally ignored. And then I was told, when I did eventually ring, I was told they don't answer emails only for 5 days. For 5 days.
Sorry, who doesn't answer emails?
The Department of Justice.
Oh, they will not answer it until after 5 days, five working days.
You have a five-day working thing. And I just, you know, I lost it then, to be honest with you. Now, the girls are very nice there and everything like that, and they're in the front line. And things like that. And it's the same with the Longford Prison Service. Can't fault them. Very nice people. But what annoys me, Joe, is one person makes this decision. There's one decision maker that makes this particular decision. There's no consultation about from the victims. There's nothing. He just, whatever that person was, they make the decision that this person can go 2 weeks early. You know what I mean? So where's the thought for us? Joe, one day they rang me on the death on Patsy's anniversary to tell me that this person was getting more time off for TR. And how sick and sad is that?
Yeah, on the anniversary.
On his anniversary this year, 22nd of August, they ring me.
Well, tell us a little bit about Patsy.
Patsy was the kindest person you could meet. He never was in trouble with anybody. He never laid a hair. He would help a low lady cross the street. And just after Patsy died, one guy came up and told me, he said to me, Patsy saved me from drowning one day. He said he pulled me out of the canal, gave me a clip around the ear and told me to go home to my mother. You know, that's the kind of person he was. Now, we didn't find out any of these things till after
he
died.
And was he into music or what were his passions in life?
He loved his own music and he loved a chat. He loved to stop and talk to people.
Okay.
As I said, he was just an ordinary...
And was he known, would he have been known around the town as a character?
He was very well known in Nate and throughout. So well known that Gill went into court and they got it moved to Dublin, the Central Criminal Court. They got it moved to there because they thought that the court case would be biased.
And tell me about, you said you discovered that Paul Gill could edit your victim impact statement.
Correct. This is another thing we're not told either.
Explain that. That's a lot of people not know that. Explain that to us.
The victim impact statement. If you look at the word, the word that sticks out to you is impact. And this is what I put into a letter, how I felt deep down in my heart, how I felt about this. The victim impact statement is shown to the defendant.
Mm-hmm.
So they get to look at it and go down through it. Now, mine came back, no, you can't say that, no, you can't say that. So I stood up in the court and I said, well, I'm going to say it. So I had a fight with my own counsel, and I, no, I'm saying this, it's called this for a reason.
Mm.
So they brought out the statement, and then it was delayed for 2 weeks, came back and said, no, you can go ahead and do it, but that's thanks to Mr. Gill, he has allowed you to do this.
They said it wasn't.
How do you think we felt?
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Wasn't that the court officials would vet it for legal implications? Occasionally,
No. It's okay. The other side. They look at it.
They did look at it. You were told that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they didn't like what I had to say, basically. You know what I mean? So, at the end of the day, I felt, you know, what I had to say came from my heart about Patsy, about my brother, and the way he'd been treated and what happened. And so, and at the end of it, I had put nobody in this world has the right to take the law into their own hands.
And what else did you say? Can you remember in your victim impact?
I mean, basically, the date, 22nd of August 2015, 11:45, is etched into our hearts forever and a day. Do you know what I mean? We'll never forget that. My sister had to go and identify him, and he was covered in bruises. And that has remained with her. And that has, you know, that will be emblazoned in her head for the rest of her life, and she has to deal with that. I know, not to mention the fact that, as I said in my impact statement, that people, they end up on anxiety tablets, antidepressants. You know, as I said, it's a ripple effect. It affects everybody. The first year especially just goes by in a complete blur. You don't even remember getting up in the morning. You don't remember getting the children out to school. You just go through life, and that's it. And I can't even explain it. You're just in a black hole where you just cannot seem to get out of, and then one day it suddenly kind of dawns on you that I'm not going to give this person any more of my bloody time. But I just think and feel that the rest of the country should know that victims are being treated in the most disgraceful decisions made by letting these people out onto the streets earlier than they should be. If I robbed Revenue tomorrow or anybody like that, I'm sure to God it'd be down at my front door, cart me away and make me, you know, fill my sentence.
Your victim, I'm looking at the documentation here from the Victims of Crime Office and the Office of Public Prosecution. Your victim impact statement can be seen by the prosecution team. That means the defendant. The prosecution team and the defence, which is the defendant, obviously, the Gardaí and the court.
Absolutely.
Copies of your victim impact support are not given to anyone else, I presume. Who else could you give them to unless you start going door to door with them? So you are right. But your Patsy was 58when he was killed.
Correct. And, young man still.
Of course. And what age would he be now, Bernie?
62.
But in the meantime, the man who was involved in his killing, who kicked him in the head, now I know the whole issue of the heart was brought up then, but the man who kicked him in the head of the four...
Dragged him by his ankle several feet.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that.
Yeah. And where did he drag them? Along the road or the footpath or the garden?
On the footpath. On a hard cement ground. And as I said, Patsy put up absolutely no resistance whatsoever.
Except, as I said, the last words on this earth
came out was, you do not, you know, you wouldn't hit an old man, would you? They were his last words.
My God. Now, the point I'm trying to make is Patsy would be 62 today, as you say. That's four years after his death. But the man who was involved in his death served less than 17 months in one in a Mountjoy, which is a difficult prison in the Midlands, but then the second in Shelton Abbey, which has all prisons of great staff. But I've been to Shelton Abbey quite a bit, and they have a wonderful team down there. But it is a different, completely different atmosphere if you behave yourself, which they do, because they realise how lucky they are.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. But Bernie, you think an apology would help in some shape or form?
It would go some way towards.
Okay, but I hope
not
Paul,
all of it.
Well, I hope Paul Gill or his family will hear this. I hope Paul Gill or his family or someone, as he's a very young man, his parents are possibly still alive. Someone within the family will say, or let us know that they're willing to he's willing to write an apology, or would you like to meet him? I don't know. Is that too tough on you?
No, we don't want to meet him.
Okay.
But we've just, as I said, there was no remorse, Sean, whatsoever, as far as we're concerned. And I'd just like to finish, Joe, by saying that this is just not for me. It's for all the victims of crime in Ireland, where they're not getting a fair deal, and where they're not told things, where murder's been let out in day releases here and there. You know, people, when my phone goes and when I see it's Longford Prison or somebody to do it, your heart starts to race because you say, what's coming next?
It's the prison service.
How do I tell the rest of the family?
Yeah, it's the prison service HQ in Longford. That's the
thing
ring up
when today. When that comes up.
But I'm also, I take your point, Bernie, so strongly about other families, but I also want to reiterate what you said about your wonderful brother, Patsy. Mm. And that is, if Patsy was alive, he would have said to that chap, listen, forget
it's
about
okay,
it, bud. Move
exactly
on.
What, he would have shook his hand. He would have said, okay, so bud, it's fine.
So that's a reminder to people, young people especially, and the weekend especially, when there's drink and people are in gangs, please do not raise your hand in violence to anybody. Mm. Please, if you see somebody about to kick somebody in the head, it will destroy the person on the ground's life, obviously, but it will destroy your life as well. Now, I know the man is out after a relatively short period, but just to try and bring home to people the devastating effects of violence, and maybe somebody in a group or a group of lads or women or whatever out tonight, and someone gets involved in, as they do, in a stupid row and loses the head, that somebody takes a leadership position and says, come on lads, out of here. No, we might be in the right, we might be in the wrong, but nobody has to raise their hand, and absolutely nobody has to push somebody. They could have hit their head off the ground, as we've discovered so many times in this programme, punch somebody or kick them in the head. It's just so horrific, the implications.
And Joe, also, I just want to reiterate the fact as well. And when judge sits up there and gives the sentence, it should be carried out. There shouldn't be some do-gooder at the end of the day saying, here's an extra 2 weeks off, here's a day off here, here's... We're not told all of this. We think, we're ignorant of the law when it comes to these things. This is a big black world that we go into that we don't want to go into. We're dragged into it by someone else's actions. What I'm saying is, when the judge sits up there and gives the 2.5 years... And we thought, right, you serve him 2.5 years. Then we're told 25% off. And then we're told about the TR. Then we're told about open. You know, nobody tells you any of these things. You find out everything by accident.
I'm looking. I'm looking again at that photograph you sent in of Patsy. If you wish, we will let people see it. But I'd also is that the canal where he lifted the boy, where he saved the boy's life in the background?
Yeah, that's exactly the canal where he saved him from.
I love his hair, by the way.
Oh,
he had a lovely head of hair.
He would have been a Thin Lizzy fan, and
brilliant,
you know, all those kind of people. He would have been of that era and things like that, you know. But he just lived a quiet life, didn't annoy anybody.
God bless him.
I just feel so strongly that,
and that's come across.
This person hasn't fulfilled their sentence.
Okay, Bernie. Kind regards to you and your family, and condolences again on Patsy's untimely and awful death. Thanks indeed. That's Bernie Kelly, Bernie's brother Patsy. I'll tweet that photograph now. You can see what a gregarious, insofar as you can judge anything from a photograph, what a gregarious, open and embracing man. And remember, that canal he's standing in front of is a canal where he saved someone's life. 1850 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And you heard Bernie Kelly an hour ago on the programme say, when she was talking about the death of her brother Patsy, that she would welcome some communication from Paul Gill or his family or his representatives to talk and even apologise for what happened. But we have had the contact from Paul Gill's solicitor, and he just was on to us to clarify that in regard to the chat we had with Bernie Kelly earlier, Paul Gill was convicted of assault. He was acquitted of manslaughter. I thought we made that clear, that the assault, he died after the assault one of the things the coroner found was that he had an underlying heart condition which no one was aware of, and when he was being kicked in the head, obviously Paul Gill didn't know that. But Paul Gill was convicted of assault. I thought we made that clear. Selena Cray, Selena, good afternoon. Another assault. Thankfully, your son is out of it. Well, what happened? It's one of these which are all over the country now, these Halloween events. Is that what they're called? Halloween Realm?
It's called Nightmare Realm, and it was on up in the RDF. Right. And it's my grandson. He's 12.
Okay.
And it's his very first time to go anywhere with his friends, like he does with his dad all the time.
And what happened? Are these events, they're spooky, aren't they? They're meant to be haunted. A haunted house and pitch black.
There's three houses, seemingly, and he was in the fourth house.
Okay.
And you feel all these kind of monstery things jumping out at you.
Yeah, they're,
he was going through, and next of all, he just thought he felt something. So it was, anyway, it was a boy taking his phone from his pocket. He was about 15, 16. So
were taking advantage of the darkness.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, Taylor took to run after him.
Yeah, your grandson.
And when he caught up to him, your man gave him, this is Taylor's words, an awful boost in the leg. So he went down and he was frightened then. He didn't, he went no further. So while he was in there then, he went to a member of staff. He was still in that one house.
Yeah.
Like, they were all still there. And it looked like the chap that kicked him was with a family. That's what it looked like to Taylor anyway. But anyway, he reports it to a member of staff.
Yeah.
And they said, can you search him? He said, because he's after stealing my phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And the chap said, well, I can't search him. I'll radio on to the next one and they'll look after for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. He heard no more. There was nothing more said.
And when Taylor was saying to the security staff, can you search him, was the chap who robbed his phone, was he within view, if you follow me?
He was in view, yeah.
Okay.
And that's why Taylor got terrified then, because he, you know the way he says, they could be standing outside now.
With a gang waiting on him, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and because he's only 12, he's only, you know, he was big excited for his big day out, and for this to happen to him was awful, you know.
And his phone, what did he have on it? Well, everyone has loads of photographs.
Oh,
he had
loads of photographs, like, I was on before, like, I said I wouldn't talk about, he said to me, Nanny, don't start talking about me, Mammy. But I'll just say, anyway, that he had lots of photographs of his mum on, that she passed away 5 years ago. But he doesn't want me to go into that, because he just prefer
I understand.
What happened to him.
He's a young boy.
He's really traumatised. By the time he got home, he rang his dad from there on one of his friend's phone, and he just said, Taylor, just get home as quick as you can.
Yeah.
You know, because he was terrified that something was going to happen
and
to
we'd
him.
And we'd love to get that phone back, wouldn't we?
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
like, anyone that says, oh, geez, Taylor, he loves his phone. You know, he plays his games on it and
Those beautiful contact with I know we won't go into with his mother who died 5 years ago. So Taylor would have only been seven. My God, we have to find that phone. We will ring the RDS again. It happened fairly recently. Okay, Selena. And would people mind themselves in those nightmare realms? They are dark,
and you have couriers
taking advantage of them. Yeah.
Taylor knows, like, I'm always listening to Joe Duffy, and he said to me, Nanny, will you just ring Joe Duffy to make people aware, especially teenagers,
when
they're going into places like that.
He's a gorgeous, he sounds like he's a gorgeous boy, Selena.
He's a jewel in the crown, he is.
Yeah, okay. We'll get back onto the RDS as well and see if they any.
That's great.
Okay, Selena, mind yourself.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, and thanks, Taylor, for warning other people.
Yeah. Okay. 51551.
Thanks, Selena.
Bye-bye.